Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
The center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Knapsack for another edition of Star Wars Ranked, where me and a guest sit down, and sometimes occasionally just me, but it's fun to do things with friends or do things alone with friends, as we know as a theme of Rise of Skywalker. We are going to be ranking things in Star Wars today, and to do that is on the show today, Joseph Scrimshaw. Joseph, I'm in one piece. How are you?
I am also in one piece. I am happy to be your almost always guest, not always, but I feel like at this point, like I'm almost like the roommate of Star Wars Ranked, but I sleep on the couch, so it seems like I might leave at some point.
I love it. I love the evolution of these individual shows, shows we've done over the years. Your Star Wars Counseling is one of those, Databank Brawl, all those kind of things. And it's Star Wars Ranked. It's like, yeah, we'll bring other folks on the show. I know Billy Patterson is going to come on the show soon, everything like that. But it is just, it's a nice, warm, comforting feeling to rank things with you. So that's why you're here.
It is very, very fun to continue ranking things. And I look forward to the Billy episode too.
Absolutely. Today on the show, we are now following along here. Sometimes the topics on Ranked are very direct and sometimes they leave some room for discussion. This one today is our favorite non-action figure Star Wars toys. What does that mean? Well, these are the things that aren't classified as like
Classic Kenner, the Power of the Force, Black Series, 3 3/4, the 6-inch Black Series line, of course, the Vintage line, anything like that. Anything. Now, we're staying away from maybe clothing, you know, if you own
dishware.
Dishware is a good example. Yeah, because I was almost going to include some silverware. I don't play with it. I do eat with it, but it is a lightsaber. Those kind of things. So it's a wide open list, Joseph, what I'm trying to say, but it's non-action figure. That's what's key.
This was a beautiful challenge. When you told me this, you wanted to do this topic, I was like, that's great. And then I was really just amazed by like, wow, my relationship with action figures is quite intense and it doesn't leave much time for other toys. I did find plenty eventually, but I really had to think about it, which was great.
Well, it really was a matter of just sitting down in one space and looking around my shelves and walls, right? And I think you did the same thing. And yeah, action figure heavy is kind of the way it is. But the nice thing about just individuals and people who are different but also have shared interests, I could probably do a list on my favorite Lego sets or maybe my Funko Pops. I know you don't collect those as much. You have other interests that maybe I don't have. So I wanted to give us a chance to talk about our favorites from all those different collectible genres.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I did exactly what you did. I looked around my room and then I looked around my life and I found more than I thought.
Love it. So without further ado, we are going to rank our favorite non-action figure Star Wars toys 5-1, beginning with Joseph's number 5. Sir, what do you have?
My number 5 was really fun to actually research and figure out what the actual truth of it was. So I was making sure that I was remembering it correctly. We are going back to something that you and I have talked about before, a weird little just brief moment in Star Wars collectibles, and that is the Star Wars Micro Collection from the early 80s, from like 1 year of the early 80s.
Yeah.
So if anybody is not familiar with the Star Wars Micro Collection, it was basically Kenner going like, okay, well, some of the, like the big ships, the kids, the parents, they can't afford them. So we are going to just knock out these smaller, just little metal figures that all come with sets. And then you can build them up. And I didn't know any of that backstory.
Right.
I just knew I love the toys. And then suddenly, I don't even remember when I went there, went to what store. Suddenly there were these small sets with these little characters that were in all these different positions and they were locked in that position and they came with sets. And for some magic reason, my parents could afford them. And they only made some Death Star stuff, a couple of Bespin sets that you could combine, a bunch of Hoth stuff, a Falcon. So we had a bunch of these. And when I go through the images, I just have these huge memories of just staring at them and turning them around and around because I was so fascinated by, okay, well, I have like 2 or 3 Darth Vaders, but they're all in different poses and they're dynamic and you can't move them, right? So we could do a whole episode just on this, but I just went through for my number 5 and I picked, I think, what was the most fascinating character that I looked at the most. And it turns out you could get this character and this pose in 2 different sets, came with the Millennium Falcon and the Bespin galley, I believe.
Yeah.
And it is my number 5. That's a big wind up to what my number 5 is. It is this little non-action figure, little metal painted sculpture of Luke Skywalker with no hand, no right hand, and then his left arm is a big hook. And it is made so you can hang him from the bottom of the Bespin, little Bespin set, and perfectly sculpted to work together with a Lando figure that helps him down from the top hatch.
That's what it was.
Yes. So it's just this amazingly specific moment of Luke in horrific trauma, but it also just, he's so functional. Because mm-hmm. that hook arm looks like, buy this Luke and, you know, hook him on things, make a necklace out of him. So it's beautiful and horrific and funny all at the same time.
This is a great start to our list. This is absolutely the spirit of the list. I'm so glad you selected this one. And I had the chance to speak on this whole line on a podcast called How Do You Figure with Blake Schultz and Justin Donaldson lately. And we're trying to all get over there and talk about some other things. They do a fun show looking at collectibles. And they were overjoyed to talk about this because Justin, who's in our age group, Justin was like, oh, yeah, those things. And Blake's a little younger, was like, what are you talking about? What are these things? And I have them too, but I don't know how I acquired them. Do you remember those days, Joseph, where you like, you just don't know how you acquired the toys that you have? They just show up in your collection.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember wanting these, and I remember having these, but yeah, I don't have these specific memories of that's the day I went and got it. It's Bespin Gantry, action playset. And yeah, the sculpts were really great, really dynamic. And some of them are like funny and weird. I went to this site, toysyouhad.com, that has a great breakdown. And I was finally able to sort through my various memories and figure out which ones I really did have and which ones I imagined having.
So I'm going to have to go to that website after the show. Love this one. And I have the Luke, but I don't have the Lando, and have Han, which is like Bespin Han, and he's crouched down holding his blaster. So Luke would fit on that one pretty well, not the Lando that he was made for. And then I had Rebel Troops and Snow Troopers. And a C-3PO. I had the weirdest fan fiction reenactments with those figures. I had no playsets. I just had those.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to figure out, because I was pretty sure that I didn't. I know that I have the Hoth set, that is the Hoth Wampa Cave, because I remember being fascinated by Luke, who's meant to hang upside down, but just now kind of looks like he's collapsed in a can't even kind of way. Yeah. And I didn't have the rest of the Hoth. I'm like, but I had all those Rebels and Snowtroopers. They were a mail away build your army set.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I mailed away for that and forgot. Wow.
Right, because let me see if this Snowtrooper really jogs your memory. Welcome to Memories of Snowtroopers Past. The one who's basically like kind of lying down, but propping themselves up on their hands.
He's like failed at a push-up. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And it looks like he's trying to get a Presidential Medal of Fitness or whatever it is. And he looks utterly perfect if you're like, I'm building my set and this guy's kind of crawling on the ground with his blaster sneaking up on somebody. But if you don't understand that's how he's supposed to interact with the floor, you're like, well, is this guy mid jump? Is he doing modern dance? What the hell's happening?
I used to prop him up as if he'd just been, you know, shot and he's like falling back or just singing along to a great gospel song. Like he's got his hands in the air. It's great. And so, yeah, I get he's doing the military crawl, but you're so right. That had no use to me as a kid. I'm like, I need some action. He needs to think. And there I just touched on the reason why this line started to kind of fall apart is the idea is great. But yeah, kids, the intended audience back then was like, how do I play with these? I just set them up and stare at them.
I mean, I had some fun playing. In particular, I got the chunk of the Death Star that had a fast closing door, and I spent so much time throwing my little guys through there.
Yes. Now, I think, and we could probably seriously do a whole show on this as well. But like, I really think if they brought this line back, slap the vintage on it, whatever you need to do. Like this is the kind of collectible I need now. Doesn't take up a ton of space, displays well, and I can just put it on a shelf and point at it and go, yep, I love Star Wars.
Yep, you can scratch that collectible urge and get lots of characters, lots of locations, lots of distinct and specific moments from the movies and TV shows. Yeah, I would love this.
Great choice, man. That's my give the floor to you. To any final thoughts on Luke with his arm off?
Now, I mean, if you're a fan and you're listening and you're like, I don't know anything about this, I think this website, toysyouhad.com/StarWarsMicro, it's got pictures of the boxes and the sets and the figures, so you can really get it. It's a really fun set. I could have listed any number of characters, but that working through the pain of poor Luke, no right arm and a left arm building out there for support.
That's a great way to start. And we know there's a lot of listeners out there probably pulling their own off their shelves right now and going, yes, I have these too.
Exactly.
That is a great number five. We're on to my number five. And I'm going to something that's very modern. And that's kind of the point. Sometimes when you look at these lists, you look at things you've had for a lot of years, some emotional attachment. My number five is the Lego Razor Crest set. Mm. Now, It is great. I know, Joseph, you are still awaiting the shipment of your HasLab Razor Crest. You're going to have to get a new parking spot in your complex to park it toy coming soon. I know.
I got an update email saying that I need to verify my address because it's being sent very soon. And this is the absolute cruel moment that I wanted to share, Ken. Yeah. That email adds with, you know, I bet your shelf is ready. Like, no, it's not. It's not at all.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, I'm not getting that shipped to me. I wish I was, but I love Lego sets. Lego is just, I was raised with it and I've been collecting since the early 80s and playing and building and doing those things. And a couple years ago, I started the brick building streams on my Twitch channel and have a lot of fun. So naturally I was building the Star Wars Lego sets, but just because of you and I talk often about it, I don't have a lot of room to display things and Lego, they get very dusty. So I've been without reservation building them. And then taking them out to my storage shed and putting them in a nice plastic storage totes, like wrapping them, keeping them safe. And I'll keep the minifigs in a separate thing. I don't take them apart, but I'm not worried. Like there's been no like, bummer, I can't display these, right? Along comes the Razor Crest set. And it's a big build. It took a couple sessions. Got your little Grogu, got everything. And I finished it. And I was like, there's no way in hell I am taking this anywhere but my shelf. It is a beautiful set. It's got weight to it. It's a very detailed Lego set. The Grogu is coarse cute. It's got the working sliding doors, everything you kind of expect from a Lego set. It just, it once it was built, it just didn't even feel like a Lego set. It felt like I'd built a model. And I stare at it every day. I sometimes take it down, do a little playing with it.
You fly around a little bit?
Just do a boop, 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 you know, just do one of those and open the doors and look at it. It's just, it just won me over. Like in an era where I'm like, yeah, I built it and it's stored. And I don't miss some of the Lego sets that I've done that with recently. This one, I'm staring at it as I'm speaking to you and I want to play with it.
Oh, that sounds so great. Did you enjoy building it? Is that like a part of your attachment? Do you look at that and go like, I made that with these hands?
Well, you know, I don't have my dad's engineering hands. So yes, I also have displayed the helmets. I built those helmets, Boba Fett, Stormtrooper, Biker Scout, TIE Fighter of the helmets. And those ones were so simple, but so difficult because all the helmets kind of look the same. So you're putting a lot of same color, you know, the pieces are all look the same on the instruction manuals, what I'm trying to say. And like, I got lost on them. So like, yes, I put those up there. I was like, I'm not storing those because I did that. The Razor Crest. Yeah. A little difficult, bigger build. But it was even more than that, Joseph. It just represents that whole series and what I grew to love about that show so much. And we all love the Razor Crest. The Volkswagen van in space. And it just all adds up to this wonderful set.
I think that's so great. I think that's an absolutely great pick. And I know this joke has been made, but it's so beautiful and painful that your Razor Crest is the Razor Crest when it's all complete. But sadly, if you had never built it, it would also be an accurate depiction of the Razor Crest.
Yeah, well, and the week I was doing it on Twitch was the week it blew up. I think I was doing a two-parter. I think if I remember right, I started the build and then I was like, part two, well, I guess we could stop. Like, this is where we're at. But yeah.
I guess I nailed it. Yeah.
Nailed it. So there you go. That's my number five, Lego Razor Crest, which means we're up to your number four.
My number four, I am jumping to the modern. I'm not a huge collector of the Funko Pops because if I let myself go, once I start down that path, forever will it dominate my destiny, my shelves, and they will fall on me and I will need to call 911. Yeah. So I'm very careful about which ones I try to pick up. This one was an absolute yes, because one of the great things to me about the Funko Pop line is right now it is the only way to kind of get representations of some characters or, you know, moments that I like until the action figures catch up. So my number four is Emperor Sheev Palpatine Darth Sidious from The Rise of Skywalker. In particular, the restored Emperor. My favorite Funkos are always the evil or angry characters, the kind of characters who would be furious if they found out they were depicted this way, right? That they look mad to be a Funko. I love those Funko Pops. I love that. Everything about the Emperor in Rise of Skywalker, but particularly the restored Emperor. The fact that, you know, those robes are like so cool and so new, and that just crimson blood red and a cool like belt that looks very Star Warsy. That's some kind of like tech. You know, looks like he could, you know, order lunch on that thing, you know. And then just that great, beautiful Star Wars weirdness of like, yes, he rebuilt his body and back to his former power with the absolute life blood of Rey and Ben. But somehow he also made himself just a dandy new outfit that he's been thinking about for a long time. Like, no more of the all black. I need some red. I need some flair. The new Emperor is going to be loud and proud.
Oh, I love this. And you're so right. The thing I do love a lot of Funkos is a lot of characters or moments are in Funko form and nowhere else. And that makes them kind of fun. And even when you think you're out, you're like, I'm done. For me, I'm like, I'm done collecting Funkos. I'll turn the corner at a store and be like, oh, I'm not. I'm not done collecting Funkos. They got something I need.
Yeah, exactly. Something I need. And the last thing that I really love about this one is obviously I have the original Emperor as well, because I just adore how cranky he is. And there's lots of different ways to have lightning in Palpatine's hands. In Restored Emperor, he's got his hands kind of upturned and the lightning feels like it is just kind of dancing out of his palms rather than his fingers. So he's kind of holding them like he's offering them to the person looking. So it keeps, I look at it and I feel like he's got like lightning and that's what he's bringing to the potluck of like, I see you brought a hot dish. I brought lightning.
I brought unlimited power.
Exactly. So that's my number four, Restored Emperor Palpatine Funko Pop of Fury.
Love it. Love it. The only thing I'll say, I'll add on that, it's on my list of things that I think I might need still, because you and I have this wonderful obsession with the Emperor. We love to root against him, but we do love collecting him. And I don't have that Emperor. So,
yes. Yep. I love to hate him and disagree with his ideology. I love disagreeing with his ideology. And I do that in Funko Pop form.
There you go. Great number four. My number four from an evil overlord trying to take over the galaxy to a hero trying to stop him. I'm going to Play School's Star Wars Galactic Heroes Han and Tauntaun set. Oh, yes. You can get this in other sets, too. They have like a Wampa one, and I'll discuss that in a second. This is an older set. I think this one, I was looking it up. I do think it is from like 2002 range.
Wow.
And I've had it for that long. And it's traveled many, many roads. It has been with me. Many, many houses, many lives. It has led alongside my lives. And this is, as you'd imagine, it's a Play School. So you talk about going to the toy aisle and taking toys intended for children. This is intended for like toddlers. This is like a little lower on the chain. Ages one and up type of thing. And it is as you had imagined. It's like kind of a little comic-y, cartoony version of Han and Hoth gear with a big oversized blaster for the toddlers to play with. And the Tauntaun is it looks like he's going to say something like, we're going to get there, Han. Like, he's just, it's a total Saturday morning cartoon vibe. You can get the Luke one as well. And then there's another set. And this is why I do know this is the range of 2001, 2002 does track. I picked it up because I turned the corner. I just was like, what is this? And this is, you know, an era, prequel era, all that stuff where I wasn't collecting Star Wars stuff as much. I wasn't shouting to the hilltops like I'm a Star Wars fan. And I just remember thinking, can I buy this? It's in the kids aisle. Yeah, I will. One of the other sets, and I never got it. It's called the Stompin' Wampa set. And I never got it. I had it in my hands. I said, I'll come back for it. I never got it. 20 years have passed. Yeah, I can get it online, whatever. But that name, the Stompin' Wampas, became my fantasy baseball team name for like 15 years. And it's still like, I laugh every time I just think of like the Stompin' Wampa. Again, like it's a cartoon you're watching on Saturday morning. Yeah, I'm going to come get you. I'm the Stompin' Wampa. It's just always tickles me. It's just a different connection to that level of Star Wars joy. That's just base level fun, silly, weird. And I love collecting Han on Tauntaun. That's just one of the things we mentioned on a recent book of Boba Fett, like Boba Fett on Bantha is one of the, like, that's going to be maybe my new collection trend, but I just love, I have a lot of different versions of Han on Tauntaun and detailed black series ones and whatnot. This is the only one displayed. Because it's kind of smaller and it's just fun. And it just, every time I see it, I smile. And that's part of the reason it's, we collect these stuff.
I think this is great. Yeah, I pulled up an image of this and I was like, oh no, I've seen that in Ken's home. Yeah, I love just how large you know, obviously it's the non-realistic proportions in Han's just massive fist. It looks like he has some weird superpower, like Han Solo can make his fist big and punch his enemies. He's going to punch Boba Fett right in the helmet. And you're so right about the Tauntaun's expression in this photo. It really looks like he's like, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to crack open a beer. I'm so done. I'm so done working for the day. As soon as I can get this guy off my back, I am going to work.
It's great. I want like, you know, I want like a stop motion version, like a YouTube short on the Star Wars channel of these play school lines. And by the way, the line's still going because at Target now there's a Anakin in like an Attack of the Clones era Anakin in like a maybe a speeder. Maybe it's from the chase. I think I haven't looked at it. And then there is the biker scout, one of the biker scouts who took Grogu on a speeder bike. And, you know, I love my collecting my speeder bikes and my biker scouts, too. And I just I'm going to have to get that. There's just no question.
I feel like I just heard you break live as we're recording. Like, I have to.
You have to understand. Yeah, it's just a great line. Great line.
Yeah, I want to ask you a quick question about this Galactic Hero in general. So, like, for me, I recognize this is totally a bias and a taste thing, but I generally, outside of Funko Pops, don't gravitate towards things that don't have the kind of realistic proportion. Or if they do have a stylized proportion, I still want it to be in the kind of it's cool vibe for toys. And this is just like, it's so fun. It's so playful. Do you have that hang up at all where you're not normally drawn to things that have the kind of different or more cartoonish or fanciful proportions?
Yes, I do. I do sometimes. Yeah, especially if I'm going to display them. Like I don't, you know, Lego, it's a little different, right? It's its own kind of aesthetic and whatnot, and Funko too. But yeah, normally I would say if I'm really going to display it, I tend to go to the realistic side. But I think there's something, and maybe it's changed over the years, and maybe Funko Pop helped with that. But I like the packaging more than I like the pops. I've always said that. But with the bicycle one, I think there's just something so silly about it that it does draw me in a little bit more than that you used to over the years. Like I wish I had the allowance money to collect sideshows. Or the space. They're beautiful. They look, and the fabric is real, and the work they go into, it's great. I can't play in that game. I'm over in the minor leagues. And so therefore I am kind of drawn to that. Because I like the subtler stuff, you know, from like t-shirts and stuff. Like I like people going, hey, is that Star Wars versus, hey, that, you know, t-shirt that is, you know, Han Solo cereal is really funny. Like, I don't like that stuff as much anymore. I like the subtle, but I think there's something on this side where I just like the silly.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. I think I'm happy that I like these. I love seeing them, love talking about it, but don't want to collect these kind of things because I would be in even more trouble.
Yeah. And also, as we're talking, I typed up the Galactic Hero Stomp and Wampa playset. Yeah, no, we're going to have to wait for my next tax return for that one. Wow. It's a collector's item.
Excellent. Well, we got to get you that. Oh.
that is my number four, the Play School. My voice is breaking like I'm a kid collecting Star Wars. Play School, Star Wars Galactic Heroes, Han and Tauntaun. Joseph, we're up to your number three.
My number three is also staying a little bit modern, and this is going to one of my early loves, but a modern version of that, and it is a stuffed animal. When I was growing up, particularly when I was a little bit younger, I really, really liked stuffed animals, in particular bears. I have my bear chocolate that's still around here with me. I threw this teddy bear chocolate around so much that he kept bursting open and losing a little bit of his filling, and then my mom and my dad would take turns sewing him up, but very soon chocolate became very thin like I was. I was like, this is great. Anyway, so that is all to just kind of lay out, like, you know, when I was young, and sometimes it would be like, you go to the store and like, do you want, you know, two action figures because it's your birthday, or do you want, you know, one stuffed animal? So I mostly followed the action figure love, but I still do have a soft spot in my heart for the old stuffed animals. So when Last Jedi came out and porgs were everywhere, I was like, I need a porg. And there are a lot of different porgs, but like, you know, some of them were like the weird mechanical ones that were like furry on the outside, but like you could feel their weird, hard mechanical insides.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want a proper stuffed animal that one can hold and cradle and squeeze and whatnot. And it wasn't long. They weren't available for very long at Target. They disappeared very, very quickly. But I got a relatively large stuffed porg. And that is sitting on a chair in my living room that used to be for humans to sit on. But now it is entirely for stuffed animals. And it is like, it's a porg, a log from Twin Peaks, a sea otter, a bat, three squirrels, and my porg. And the porg is perfectly positioned to be looking at the window. So like on the right day, like the LA golden hour hits the porg on his big glassy eyes. And the porg just looks like they're thinking about like, it's been a long time in LA. There's no place like LA, but I'm going to make it work here. It's a really straightforward stuffed animal with big glossy glass eyes. I've shared pictures of myself with it before. I just love it. It captures that weird fun of the porgs, that they're kind of cute and super weird at the same time.
Oh man, that's great. I've seen it in person, and it fits so well in your home. And I love the connection between something you loved as a kid. I was one of the stuffed animal kids as well. And it's such a special place in your heart. And it's different from plushes, because I have some plushes that I like. I have a Wampa plush. It's pretty cool. Yoda plush. I have a Boba Fett plush because, you know, the deadliest bounty hunter in the galaxy in plush form is great. But I guess maybe that was tipping us off as to the heartwarming change he was going to go through later. But those are different than stuffed animals, the old classics. And that porg is built for that.
Yeah, so absolutely great, absolutely beautiful. And I'm so glad I bought it when I did, because it disappeared. It wasn't even in the toy section. I think it was in like the pillows and bedding section of Target.
Love that.
Yeah, so that's my number three.
Love it. Large stuffed porg, which also sounds like an item at Smokehouse that you can order. Large stuffed porg, please. My number three, we are going to Funko. We're going to Funko. And this one is, unfortunately, it's one of those ones I had to kind of lock away in storage for space. It is the Funko Rancor set. This Mourning Guard, Luke, the Rancor to scale pretty much for them too. And I think there might be like a bone in his hand. I'll have to look that up here online. This one, I said earlier, I definitely was, and I still am, a fan of Funko Pops. Got a chance to go to the store here in L.A. in Hollywood recently, and it was just a fun experience. There's so many cool things on the life-size ones and everything. It reminded me that, yeah, even though I don't collect them as much, I do love the brand. But I've always said I've always kind of enjoyed the packaging more than the Pops themselves. There's just something about the packaging that just connects with childhood joy. It also makes you go, it doesn't look like the character I love, but it's the character I love. And therefore kind of, you know, like you said, it's a little out of scale, the large heads, and it might not be everyone's taste. But tracking down Funko Pops over the years and bigger sets and the special sets they've released has been one of the joys of it for me. Getting the Funko Wampa is one I enjoyed as well. I have a lot of Game of Thrones Funko Pops, a lot of pro wrestling Funko Pops too. Getting the Rowdy Roddy Piper one, someone who I had a chance to meet and work with for a short amount of time towards the end of his life. Like, that meant something to me. That said, I love also just kind of getting weird Rancor sets too. And you and I were in Las Vegas, Joseph, going to Wizard World Las Vegas. We had a Force Center panel out there. We had traveled separately out there, but we were staying in the same hotel. And we were on the floor, and I saw it, and I had to get it. And you captured a picture of the moment.
I did, yeah. I remember you were so like, no, I got it.
You know, I drive to Vegas. I don't like, I'm close enough to where I enjoy the drive to Vegas. It's nice and relaxing for me. So no worry about getting back on an airplane, but it was just like, it was the cost. It was a big thing. And I'd already, you know, I was already running out of space. Like, I didn't know where I was going to put this in my apartment at the time. But I love collecting it. And Ma Garrett and I, back in the Jedi Alliance days, she loves collecting Rancors as well. So there's something we had a shared joy over that. And yeah, I when I think back of things I love, there's a lot of other Funkos that I maybe like I display and have a little bit more favorite characters or whatever. But that one, it was the joy of finding it and going, yeah, I'm committing to buying this. The picture you have, which I think is somewhere up on like my Facebook page. My hair's a mess. It was a convention floor day. We just kind of run around the floor. We had a performance either before or after. I can't remember, but it was just like we were there on Matt Key's panel. So it was a lot of fun. The memory is even more powerful than the toy itself. So that is why it's on my list.
Well, that is great. Yeah, it's a great. I pulled it up on the old internet. Yeah, and it looks like it comes with Luke with a bone and Ula.
That's right. Ula's in it too. Oh, man, I got to go into storage.
Yeah, and they've got great proportions when you take them out of the package, but also in the package. And I remember this from the day in the photo. I love that the Rancor looks like that he has to lean in to get in, like, the photo.
He does.
Like, right. This is about me, too.
That's right. It's Ula. It's not the Gamorrean Guard. It's Ula, which is both tragic but better. I'm glad, again, with Funko Pop, you got an Ula. You don't get a lot of Ulas out there.
Yeah. And I really do love the Funko Pops because I think the design does such a great job of capturing specific moments. And that's what's fun about them. And yeah, I always think of this too, because I wasn't sure if I was going to pick something up or not. And then you were so excited about the Funko. I was like, I'm going to look for a Funko I like. And I found a Funko of the, you know, horrific Elder God Cthulhu. And that is now proudly displayed. I have Cthulhu, Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks, and Stan Lee as Funko Pops. A very weird team, but I'm happy for it.
Great team indeed. Oh, I love it. And you know, now looking at the set, I have it up on my screen here too. Man, doesn't the perspective on this set has changed after that Boba Fett episode?
Yeah, right. I mean, the time moves forward and it changes the past.
It does. So that is my number three. Sir, what is your number two choice for your favorite non-action figure Star Wars toy?
My number two, we are jumping back in time. This is one that I definitely don't even remember getting purchased for me. It's a very, very youthful memories, but then I had throughout my life. So I've said this many times, my brother and I would share a little bit when we played, but we divided things up and my action figures were my action figures, vice versa. And same thing with play sets. And he had a 3¾ Falcon that he'd got relatively young in life. And we played with it so much it's long since missing lots of the stuff that comes with it. So at some point, probably just out of having pity on a Millennium Falconless young child, I got this Kenner die-cast Millennium Falcon, just tiny little representation of the ship. But it's got the landing gear, three landing gears that come down, the gun turret and the radar kind of pivot around. And I just have so many deep memories of flying this around. Moving to different places and you know, pulling down those landing gears and trying it out in different locations. Yes. Tactile memory, like I can feel the bumps, I can smell it. In particular with the design, there are a lot of little patches of brown. So it was really fun to just look at and study. And like, I think this diecast of the Falcon in particular is probably one of the things that made me appreciate that real kit bash aesthetic of Star Wars, because I spent so much time staring at this detailed thing that had so many more details than the big Kenner one.
I'm looking at it right now. Price to go at $600 on eBay, kids.
Wow.
It is the Millennium Falcon, authentic replica of Han Solo's space cruiser.
Authentic replica.
It's got the brown spots indeed. Oh man, I didn't own this one. I can almost feel it in my hands. This is great.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun, and I think helped build my connection to the Falcon. And again, in those ages where it's like, the Star Wars lives in my mind in whatever toys and storybooks and trading cards I have at home because I can't watch it again. This is the toy that helped, you know, build that relationship that I have with the Falcon to this day.
I absolutely love it. Oh, there's one in a damage box for $200. Kids, it's all right. You can get it.
Easy.
I love it. It's funny because Hot Wheels has done a great job, but they released some micro machine type of versions, and you know, you can get them at 7-Eleven for $10. I have the Falcon one there, and it's lighter. It's not the quality of that diecast one, so I can understand your connection to that. There's something special about that little tiny Falcon on display.
Yeah, and I think it's still in my storage in Minneapolis. So when I revisit that again, maybe the Falcon's going to have to fly home to Los Angeles.
Sir, can I take your package? No, it sits with me here.
It's worth $600 on eBay. Get off my back.
Well, that's a great choice for number two for you. My number two, well, I mentioned Hot Wheels. Well, that's an unintentional transition because my number two choice is the Hot Wheels Battle Roller Emperor Palpatine. Oh, this is my favorite. So yeah, Hot Wheels has been releasing these little micro machine kind of displays. Like I have an N1 Starfighter, I have one of the Resistance bombers, the Falcon. Someone gifted me a TIE Interceptor that's painted red from a thing, and I have those on display. Easy display. Also on display is this horrendous.
Oh, wow.
Horrendous toy. Okay? It's horrendous. And that's why I love it. You asked me earlier, Joseph, like, hey, do you like realistic stuff? And it's like, I was hesitating because the answer is yes, I do love the Black Series line. That's why I have the Biker Scout on display, Infant's Nest. I have Ray's Speeder on display. I love them. They're like mid-priced models that you can display. And if you want to go higher, you go Sideshow. I love walking into a store. Most for me, everyone knows I love my 7-Eleven. I go in there and I look down. I'm like, what the hell is this? And there's an entire series. There's like 30 of them. You can get a Rey and Chewie in the Falcon. You can get a Han one. You can get a Boba Fett. And all those, the Palpatine one is next level. It is next level.
It's amazing looking at these photos.
Yeah, he is in, I'm trying to get a, it's too far away from my studio. I have it displayed. It is, there it is. There's a picture of it. So yes, it is, I'm laughing at it now. Look, Race and Crash. So he is in a middle, like a little version of a shuttle tiger, an Imperial shuttle. And he's just sitting in it and he has like his hands on two joysticks, like he's controlling it. And then the look on his face, it is just angry Palpatine racing at you as if he's going to crash into you like it's a bumper car. And it's tiny. It's very tiny. And it has one of those roll. You pull it back and it rolls and takes off. And Hot Wheels battle rollers. And I laugh every time I see it. And it reminds me of, you know, again, going back to like the Play School thing, I wasn't collecting Star Wars. I was you stumbled onto Star Wars. And yes, the prequel figures and stuff were out, but just sometimes you turn a corner and be like, what is this? Han on a Tauntaun for kids? I want it. And that was me even now, even in this age of 2015, 2014 on, where more toys and it's now a thing. And I turned the corner, probably getting a coffee and a donut at 7-Eleven and was like, what the hell is this? I gotta get it. And it just that the joy of finding it, the joy of having it, and it is displayed. It's still in the package. I've never taken it out. There's some horrendous Hot Wheels Star Wars themed ones that are out there that are so horrendous. You gotta love. Like I have the Jabba the Hutt van. There's the Boba Fett van. You can get like a Lando. There's the Luke. I have the Luke, and I think you're partial to that Luke one too. It's a car. It's a car, but it's Luke and Octo, and it's a weird thing. It's kind of that era when they released those. But I remember seeing those and being like, oh, those are fun. I have a couple of them. I have the Ewok one as well. But that Battle Roller one, I just laughed all the way home, and it's still one of my favorite things.
It is so good. They're all good, but the Palpatine anger. This is why I love the cute things when they're combined with the angry characters, because then it to me is just this great, this perfect mixture. It looks, this image to me looks like the Imperial shuttle has a sunroof.
Yes.
And Palpatine is like bursting out of it. I can't quite see the joystick, so it looks like he's bursting out of it and just slamming his angry little balled up fists on the roof of the shuttle, going faster, faster. Faster, kill.
Get them, do it. Yeah, it does look, he's like he's Khrushchev pounding his shoe on a table. He's just like really angry. He's really angry.
Yeah, I have images up of it in the package too. And the fact that it has that huge yellow text that says, try me. Obviously, that means try the rolling function. But it feels like Palpatine going, you want to test me today? Try me.
I love this one. I mean, I'm laughing now. It's hilarious. Great stuff. I recommend, folks, if you can get yourself a Hot Wheels Battle Roller Emperor Palpatine, do it and your spirits will be lifted. Just like Palpatine doesn't want you to feel. It'll lift your spirits. So that is my number two. Beautiful stuff. This has been great. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we got some honorable mentions, things that didn't quite make the list. And then our number one choices for our favorite non-action figure Star Wars toys. Stick around for more Star Wars.
How would would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. I'm Kat Knapsack along with Joseph Scrimshaw here in the Force Center podcast feed. We are ranking things, and today it's been a fun conversation ranking our favorite non-action figure Star Wars toys, Funko Pops, stuffed animals, angry Palpatine on a shuttle. There's a lot going on, a lot of memories, a lot of joy. That's why we collect. We always have things that almost make our list, some honorable mentions. I'll start with a couple, Joseph, that I think are just kind of normal. And then go to yours. As I said, I'm a collector of Lego, have been since the early 80s. Love my space Legos growing up. And it just was unimaginable at one point in the late 80s and when I was collecting, and into the 90s, even in high school, I was secretly collecting. I didn't want anyone to know, but I was collecting. Now that would be different. Could you imagine, Star Wars Legos? Because the space Legos, I loved them. And it was kind of like Star Wars. And I had my own stories and I had my own characters. I was that kind of kid. I'd make up little stories and names and characters and everything. And I serialized my plane. It was like previously on, and now we're going to continue the story. And a lot of people did that as well. So when around the era of the Phantom Menace time, they started actually licensing Star Wars Lego sets. And you just can't imagine the joy I felt, which again, my relationship with Phantom Menace, as it's changed and grown over the years, I still look back. Even if to this day, I absolutely hated every second of the movie. I don't. I love that movie. Even if that was the case, though, it would be hard to deny that year and that time period, Joseph, of things coming back and Star Wars in your hand and the N1 Starfighter, the Naboo Starfighter, the 1999 original one, which I still have. It just wow. Could not believe. I looked, I was like, I got a Star Wars Lego set. You kidding me? It was so great.
Yeah, for me, I love that time of being absolutely surrounded by Star Wars, of just like everywhere you went, there was some Star Wars. But even with all of the ups and downs that I had back then with Phantom Menace, for me, one of the ups was the N1 Starfighter. I always thought that one looked cool. Were you there too? Were you always a yes. fan of the N1?
Absolutely. I absolutely was. And I know a lot of this discussion, you and I were talking recently off air of like, back in the day of the prequel ships, the Naboo ships look horrible. That ain't Star Wars. It was like, that's to me, that's always was Star Wars. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Bright yellow with just that great dynamic energy that's just zipping toward you. Man, I love the N1. And I remember it being a big deal and friends who like Lego more being out of their minds that now Star Wars was a big part of this. And even back then I was like, I can't. I can't begin this journey. It will dominate my destiny.
It has dominated mine. The other one of my honorable mention before I kick back to you is the more recent one. And it's great. They've been releasing these like little mini scene play sets. It's the Lego Darth Vader Transformation Set, which is the title of it.
That's the one that I've looked at that's almost broken me. I've had it in my hand.
Let me tell you something. Treat yourself. Because when you build it, it's pretty small. Like it doesn't take up a lot of display room. And I have that one. It's in storage. It is still built, but it is so you talk about taking dark things in Star Wars and packaging up and making these joyful little toys. This is the transformation of Darth Vader. You have the Anakin figure, then you put it in and then you spin a little, wheel and then Vader appears.
Oh, I love it.
And you got your Palpatine, you got your droids with it, everything. And, I think a Palpatine comes with it. I know I just have one. And it's amazing. And it's, you know, you just think about that scene and think about Vader yelling, no, and Palpatine smiling because he's trapped him forever. And this gets such a dark moment in Star Wars. And it's like, here's these wonderful little fun Lego sets of darkness. So the Darth Vader transformation set, highly recommend.
Yeah. Is she safe? Is she all right? I also just like that one. I think one of the reasons is, yeah, that combination with the darkness and the cuteness. But also there are those Lego sets that almost make sense of like, well, this is a scene about reconstruction. So, yeah, that makes sense as a Lego.
It's great. So, yes, there you go. Highly recommend that one. What is on some things on your honorable mention list?
Yeah, a couple of things on my honorable mentions list. I admit maybe stretch the definition of toy, but to me, they have toys. One of them is Pez dispensers. I love the absurdity of Pez dispensers. Mm. For Valentine's Day a couple of years ago, my wife got me a nice romantic Star Wars Pez dispenser, which is the Praetorian Guard.
Yes.
Which I love because it's red, obviously, very exciting. It is such a simple just helmet on top of a stick. It's one of those characters like, yeah, okay, that's it. Okay, you can definitely recognize what it is, but it just looks like a sculpture if you don't know Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that I really love about it is a match for the Praetorian Guard that Rey fights. So it means that the candy comes out of the neck exactly where Rey sliced this Praetorian Guard. And now when I watch Last Jedi, there's a part of me is like, should some little candies come out?
I wonder if like someone from Pez was got a screener of that movie and was like, oh, I got an idea.
Right?
Perfect one.
It's a perfect one. It makes a kind of dark sense. This one I added as we were talking because I was remembering it is one of the toys that I like and I missed it. You mentioned it, but it's the Hot Wheels character cars.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a little bit torn on those. And those are the cars that are, sometimes it'll be like, here's a van that has Dengar airbrushed on the side, right?
Right.
But then there's the character cars where it's just like, it's a car. It's cool. And it evokes the character. I did an episode of my Obsessed podcast a while back with a great guy, Andy Ashcraft, a game designer, awesome person who loves these character cars. And he convinced me, like, but this is really cool they're silly, sure, but it's also really cool from the designers to go like, what colors make this character? What part of the car should be this character, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of fall in love with them and have to stop myself. But one of the ones that you have as well, right? The Luke Skywalker Last Jedi.
Yeah.
It's damn cool looking. It's got some green to accentuate his lightsaber. It's mostly looks like somebody pulled a big beige hood over a car.
Like they're storing it. Yeah.
Over an awesome sports car. But the detail that I love is that right around the headlights, one side of the car is all just like exposed metal to be like Luke's mechanical hand. Love it.
That's right. Oh, it's beautiful. And I described him earlier as hideous. I mean that in the best way possible.
Perfectly designed to be hideous.
Yeah.
And fascinating. I have a Vader one too. That's just like, this looks like Vader's a Transformer. It's like, yeah, if he turned into a car, that's what he'd look like.
Yeah. I have the Jabba one up there and and I remember texting Jen Landa and like, you got to get this. You're a Jabba fan. You got to get this. And then I have the Ewok. The Ewok one's a cute little buggy. It looks like just like Wicket has wheels on it. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So two more for me. Yeah. This one I was thinking about as we went. I think games count as toys. And I wanted to shout out the Han Solo card game.
Oh, yes.
It came out with the Solo movie. I can't remember the details. It's easily Googleable, but somehow along the way, the titans that are Lucasfilm marketing somehow lost Sabacc. So they couldn't put it out as Sabacc. So it's the Han Solo card game. but it's, it's got the kinds of cards that you see in the movie. And, I can't remember all the mechanics, but it's fun silliness. And I only played the game once and I won. And I was like, that's it. I feel like Han Solo. This is great. All my friends were playing like it's right that you won. Let's never play this again.
I have that version. It's like a simpler version of Sabacc. I know it's like the more movie version. And there's some great YouTube channels up. I don't remember the names to shout them out, but you can look like there's some channels that just play Sabacc and have conversation. It's a great idea. So I had picked up that set too. And it's just something really fun about it. And just because, you and I love Solo. So many people love Solo. I just, every time I see it, I have it in the garage in a box. It's just like sitting there on the shelf next to my, gym equipment. So every time I'm working out, I'm thinking of playing Sabacc and cheating Lando out of a Falcon.
it is absolutely great. And the final one for me is kind of a toy. I guess it has a sense of play. It's something I picked up recently. It's a part of the 50th Lucasfilm anniversary. Back in the old 70s and 80s, there were the Ben Cooper masks, and this is a vintage recreation. So the packaging has all this great kind of old style art of Star Wars, but it's the Yoda mask. And because of Yoda's wonderful long ears, the mask can't be put in the package straight. Like the Stormtrooper and the Vader, there's a little plastic window and it's just their face straight on. But because of Yoda, he's in the box diagonally. So when you're looking at this box with a great, beautiful vintage packaging, it's just Yoda's eyes with holes in the eyebrows for your human eyes to see through. But it's just Yoda's eyes on a diagonal staring at you always. He's staring at me right now and I love it.
Your story getting that one is great. I love that is a wonderfully freaky in a good way.
Absolutely great. So that's my runner-up.
A couple more on my list. I do love I have the Leia on speeder bike Funko Pop set. This is one of the ones where I was like, I'm done with Funko, do love them, I don't get them anymore. And then I went to my comic shop and they had a bunch of them and I was like, add it to the stack. I'm definitely gonna get this. So it's just I love the speeder bikes, but that sequence and Leia and the moment with Wicket, it's one that's always special to me. So that's on there as well, just in it. It's displayed out of the box displayed. So love that one there.
That's an absolutely great one.
I also have I've mentioned it before, so I won't talk too much about it, but like from the 95, 96 Power of the Force era, I have my Power of the Force Luke Skywalker lightsaber. Still, is this 2022 now, Joseph? All right.
Yeah, that's correct.
I am not lying, friends. I have never changed the batteries. I didn't play with it a ton for the batteries to go, but the same D-cell batteries that I put in in my hometown when I was living with my parents in 1995 are still in the lightsaber.
Wow, that's just quality. That's just quality workmanship.
It still works. The light, the batteries haven't like exploded or leaked. I know that was weird. It just still works. The force is with them. The final one for me, another one I talk about a lot. And gosh, over the years, I cannot remember who sent it to me. I am so sorry. If you sent it to me, gifted me this, remind me so I can give you the credit you deserve. You know, my early relationship with Star Wars Rebels was a little more playfully cantankerous. I've always loved it, but yeah, this and that. And my view of Star Wars has, you know, hopefully matured and I look at things a little different than just being a snarky comedian about things. But I hated those puffer pigs. I just did not like that episode. You got bring Lando back. He's dealing with puffer pigs. And that's what I said on air. Jedi Alliance over here in Force Center said it a lot. Guess what? I was wrong. That episode's great. Lando's use in that is great. And you know what? The puffer pigs are awesome. But to get to that point, for me to just be like, puffer pigs are acceptable to me in Star Wars, it was this squeezable puffer pig that this wonderful Force Center listener gifted me. I don't even know what line it is. I have to look it up online. I just have it. It's in my living room displayed on my bookshelf. And if you squeeze it, it makes a horrendous pig sound.
Beautifully, disturbingly beautiful, yes.
Which, having chihuahuas in the house, like currently our chihuahua Baxter, he hates it. And if I bring it down and squeeze it, oh, he goes crazy. Grace also goes crazy. Doesn't like it either, but I just chase him around the house with a puffer pig, because why not? But it's one of those things in Star Wars, this happens a lot, where you're like, I hate that, I reject that. It isn't Star Wars. This is so stupid. And you pound your fist. Next thing you know, you own a merchandise item related to it, or you own a t-shirt, or you watch it again, or you see it somewhere else and you're like, wait a minute, that puffer pig is now a part of Star Wars to me in my heart. And that was the journey I went on with the puffer pigs. They're still a little weird. They're definitely silly. They're pigs that blow up into like balloon balls and make balloon ball sounds. But you know what? It's part of Star Wars and it brings me joy. And I still look at that puffer pig every single day. If you ever watch me play video games on Twitch, it is right off to the corner. I'm staring at it almost every time I play. The puffer pig, more than anything in Star Wars, is the thing I see every day. And I love that.
The pig just getting ready to puff. Yeah, I think that's so true of so many elements of Star Wars. Sometimes a new thing happens and you're not sure about it. And sometimes that opinion stays, but a lot of times you grow with it. And I think that so often happens around things that are weird and whimsical and fun. And I think, you know, it's so natural for us to really get invested in like the depth of Star Wars and the meaning and the stuff that really gets to our soul. And we always forget that silly part of Star Wars is always, always there. And the puffer pigs are a great honking reminder of that in your home.
Honking reminder indeed. So that is my honorable mentions. From there, we are going to go to our number one choices. I'll go first so Joseph can close the show down with his wonderful choice. My number one favorite non-action figure Star Wars toy is one of those ones, I'll admit, it's on the cusp of, is that a toy or just a collectible item? But my response to that is I have played with it in a sense, and that is the Han Solo promotional dice. The die that came out around the time of Solo, obviously. One of those things, I think, to the best of my memory, I do believe one of the last days of Comic-Con 2018, me, Grace, Mark Ellis, and Ash Crossan went to the convention floor. We had some mimosas. We had a nice breakfast. It was that Sunday, which is kind of getaway day at Comic-Con. We said, let's go over to the floor. And they had that big Falcon display, which I think was put together by the Belgian wing of the 501st. I think they put that together. They had that at Celebration with a nice crew that met us there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so I went over to that whole thing, and it's fun. And Grace and I have a great photo. Daniel Kennedy, who at the time was working at Lucasfilm, was over there. And I waited in line, and he was like, hey, there, let me get you in. And out of that, I got the dice, right? So there's so much just fun attached to that day. Daniel's a great cat, and Ash and Mark just having fun, and Grace and I get a great photo for our collection of life and memories. But then it took home the dice. And it's one of those things, you're taking home, you're like, you get a lot of little tchotchkes and things at Comic-Cons or conventions, and some of them go straight in the trash, or some of them just go into storage, some you don't see. And I just remember looking at it going, I got Han's dice, man. Like, I was almost looking at it like it was Leia in that scene holding her, not Kylo losing connection to it, but just going, I got these dice. So I absolutely put it, got home, put it in my car, put it, my Camry at the time, and put it on the rearview mirror. That Camry, long story short, got in an accident and beginning right before the pandemic, and that car was totaled. And, you know, you go to the shop, your car gets towed over and, you know, you have to clear stuff out. And there was a lot of things, like a lot of people, you put stuff in your back trunk of your car, and I had a Camry, so it's been there. I had basically clearing out my house. First thing I grabbed with those dice, even to the point where there was an expensive item that I lost. I left there and they took it, not stole it, but they took it because they're like, oh, this guy left it here. And so I went back to get it. And they're like, oh, it's gone. Tow truck driver took it, something. And I always laughed because like, I should have grabbed that first. No, I grabbed Han Solo's dice.
Well, you need them for luck.
It's with me now. It's not in my current car. It's sitting on the shelf right next to a metal Han Solo belt buckle blaster thing that a friend and listener of the show, Tamor, sent me after my original one that was gifted to me got taken at the JFK airport. It didn't pass. TSA took it. And I sat there, explained to them, it's a replica of Han Solo's blaster for his belt. It's not a weapon. And they took it from me. So next to that, I have this little display of the blaster that a friend of the show, Tamor, sent me and the dice. And it just sits there next to, full circle, Joseph, the play school Han Solo and Tauntaun.
Wow, you got a whole just a tribute to Han Solo going on, which is so awesome. I love all of the wonderful emotional connections you have to those dice. And obviously, I think they count because they are a form of play. That's their actual history, the dice. And you can roll them around and figure out your luck for the day. But I love those things that are like, you can just take what's on screen and not transform it into a toy, not turn it into a car, but just recreate it. And it feels like this real world thing. And that connection of the parts of Star Wars that feel real, just pop. I think that's so great.
Yeah, and I do play with them because when they were hanging in my my Camry from the rearview mirror, you don't know how many times I took that Camry into hyperspace, gone on the freeway. It's like, punch it, Chewie. No one was in the car with me, but we took off.
Yeah, punch it, Chewie. Go 5 miles faster.
So that is my number one choice, the Han Solo promotional dice. Love them still. Maybe one day I'll put them back in the car because, hey, like you said, Joseph, for luck. We are now up to your number one choice. What is your favorite non-action figure Star Wars toy?
I am so excited to share this. I forgot to share something about the Ben Cooper Yoda mask, which is very important to me. Yeah. On the front of it, it says adult version of your childhood favorite, which felt important to share on this podcast because a lot of that feeling is what this is about the things that meant a lot to us when we were kids and then getting to experience them at different ages and see how they impact our life. And that's kind of my number one. My number one is a toy lightsaber. Absolutely outside of action figures, probably the best Star Wars toy is to get to swing around that lightsaber. You know, I think that's a thing that has crossed generations. It crosses age. If you're a Star Wars fan and you see a cylindrical long object of almost any kind and you play with it for a second, that's a lightsaber, right? Absolutely. So then to actually have a toy lightsaber, and I didn't get to have them when I was a kid. I will always remember this. We had been to Toys R Us and my brother and I saw that these lightsabers were $1.99. Certainly, we must be able to afford that. And so my dad very kindly on the way home from work is like, all right, I'll stop at Toys R Us and I'll buy you some lightsabers. And he's like, kids, I got to teach you about reading the difference between ones and sevens. There's $7.99 and we can't get two of those right now. It's always been like, so close yet so far. And I've had different ones over the years, but the one that means the most to me, going back to that time that you're talking about, 1999, Phantom Menace is everywhere. Star Wars is everywhere. Physically, you know, it's at the grocery store. It's on Pepsi cans. You know, it's at fast food places. It's on the screen. It's on the television. And it's in society, too. It's not just merchandising. Everybody wants to talk about Star Wars, wants to engage with Star Wars, even if it's just to poke fun at it. So what I got was in 99, the Qui-Gon Jinn lightsaber. And this was, you know, kind of relatively big. It had the batteries in it. It had that, you know, you could flick your wrist and extend it, but it couldn't entirely clap. So it had that weird, like, Qui-Gon can only mostly turn off his lightsaber, but there's still some green sticking out. So I got that not just for fun and as a toy. Like, I probably would have bought it to just, like, joke around in my apartment and swing around because I like it. But this was that great time where I was doing a lot of sketch comedy with a great group of people, and audiences wanted Star Wars jokes.
Yes, yes.
You know, so not only did I just have the lightsaber and like it, but I bought it and promptly deducted it from my taxes because I bought it specifically to do a sketch with my good friend. I had this one in particular. I did a show called, long before I had the podcast Obsessed, I did a show called Obsessed, and it was like seven sketches about stuff that I was obsessed with. And one of them was Star Wars. And my friend was like, hey, I'd be happy to actually work on it and like do some lightsaber choreography. So the sketch was like, I think it was like we were the odd couple, but then they got pissed at each other and pulled out their lightsabers. And he had his Darth Maul lightsaber and I had my Qui-Gon lightsaber. And we worked on it a ton. Some of the choreography was like from the movies, but some of it we were just like, you know, pulling out of, you know, stage combat classes that we had both taken. And we were taking it so seriously, but also it was just this great sense of play. So I have such an attachment to that lightsaber toy because I truly got to play with it as an adult, because a lot of art, a lot of performing is just taking that instinct to play and to ask what if and to have fun and pretend to be, you know, like the thing that you like on the screen. A lot of performance is just bringing that into adulthood. Yeah. So I'm so happy and so attached to that lightsaber that I truly got to play with in front of an audience.
Look, it's a certain level, you know, there's a certain level you reach, I'm not saying like success level, but a certain level in your heart as a Star Wars fan, when you are able to deduct Star Wars things on your taxes, where you're like, I've done something right. This is great.
Trying to build a life that I can be proud of. And that means deducting Qui-Gon's lightsaber from my taxes.
That's great. I love the story and the performance. And yeah, that era and just people wanting Star Wars jokes or, you know, I know we talk often, but it's like it's easy to, you know, now you can look out there and there's a pop culture landscape to be part of and discussions. And it wasn't as easy back then, but the passion and the love clearly was there. And so when you could connect in those levels and the toys and then, correcting the mistakes of your youth, not getting a lightsaber then, that's a big thing too. That's a big thing too.
Yes. Finally, the great error has been fixed.
It's been fixed. Oh man. Wonderful story, Joseph. Great choice to close out the list. This was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and a lot of memories. What are yours? We want to know. Send us a picture. You got something in your storage that you're pulling out, maybe on the shelf. Don't be shy. Let us know. Follow us on Twitter at Force Center Podcast. Use the hashtag Star Wars Rank so we can find it easier. And we really love hearing from all of you. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. And you can also like our Facebook page, Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots. Check it out. Search, find the one that's best for you. We have a show we do on The Companion called Data Bank Dive. Fun show as well. It is exclusive to The Companion. You can sign up at The Companion. We tweet out information on that as well when we put out the shows. And then you can support us directly if you'd like over at patreon.com/Force Center. From there, you get into our Discord where you can have more conversations like this and share more pictures with like-minded Star Wars fans and friends. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com. Joseph, where can they follow you when you post more pictures of these toys you're sharing today?
You can find me on social media where I do indeed post lots of pictures, and I was getting excited to post some more while we're talking. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and all of my other life, comedy, adventures stuff you can find on my website, JosephScrimshaw.com.
That is it. Thanks for listening, my friends. Star Wars has been ranked.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.